Let us pray. Holy, 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 holy is the Lord. Hallelujah, holy, 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 holy is the Lord. Mighty is the Lord. Mighty, 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 mighty is the Lord. Hallelujah, mighty, 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 mighty is the Lord. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus, 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 Jesus is the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus, 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 Jesus is the Lord. Almighty God, we want to bless your holy name for yet another day when your workers, your ministers can gather together and hear your word. We bless your holy name that even in their various homes now, you will reach out to them. Please accept our worship in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we are praying that today you will grant your children the grace to live the anointed life. Amen. And that from now on, by this very special grace of God, we'll be hearing mighty testimonies from all your children in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We want to thank the Almighty God for the message that he sent to us yesterday. And we want to thank him in advance for what he's about to reveal to us today. We want to talk to you today about living the anointed life. Yesterday, we talked to you about the anointing, how it flows like a river. But today, we want to talk to you about living the anointed life. We believe that since you prayed to God yesterday, that the anointing had flowed to you mightily. And we'll be reading Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Romans 8, 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are more than conquerors. When you are anointed, you are not just a champion. You are a divine champion. You are a divine champion because the anointing of the Most High is operating in your life. Now, I'm sure, like I tried to get across to you yesterday, that anointing could be in categories. That it depends on how much you are willing to soak it in. In 2 Kings chapter 1, from verse 9 to 12, 2 Kings 1, 9 to 12, we see anointing of a very high degree. When some soldiers came to arrest Elijah, and he called down fire from heaven to wipe them out. But then in 2 Kings chapter 2, from verse 9 to 15, 2 Kings 2, 9 to 15, Elisha said he still wanted something double that. That as great as that was, he wanted double. And he got it. I'm going to start by telling you two true stories, just to let you know what anointing can do, the categories of anointing. When we were younger, our hunger was for anointing. And so we hear testimonies of people who had done some marvelous things through anointing. And we hunger for it. We thirsted for it. And then God began to do some interesting things in our midst. For example, a group of young men went to the riverine area to preach the gospel. And they were sleeping in one classroom of a school. No windows, nothing. And of course, there were plenty mosquitoes around. And so the brethren were slapping themselves as they tried to drive away the mosquitoes. But there was one of them that remained very cool. He wasn't doing any slapping, any shaking. And so the others were saying, are the mosquitoes not troubling you? Oh, he said, the mosquitoes. He said, come, let me show you something. So he bared his hand. And mosquitoes came zooming in. I mean, dozens of them. They alighted on his stretched out arm. And as the other brothers watched, every mosquito that alighted on his arm fell down dead. He said, that's anointing. That's one example. True story. But I will tell you another one, which is on even on a higher level. A man of God was sitting in a school hall, getting ready to conduct Bible studies and while people were settling down. And it was those days of you name it and claim it. I'm sure many of you who are older will remember those days. Anything you want, you just name it and claim it. And so a lady went behind the man of God quietly while the man of God wasn't watching. And he laid her hands on the head of the man of God wanting to say, I claim you. The next thing that happened was that a force that nobody could see took the lady and threw her out of the window. One moment, she was in the hall, laying hand on the head of the man of God. The next moment, she was outside, thrown through the window. That's anointing. I'm praying for every one of you, our workers, our ministers, that kind of anointing that the enemy can't even touch will be your portion in Jesus' name. Now, when you have that kind of anointing, like in the case of Elisha, when you read 2 Kings chapter 6 from verse 8 to 23, 2 Kings chapter 6 from verse 8 to 23, you find that a king sent an army to arrest a man of God. One man of God, a whole army to arrest the man of God. When they got to the man of God arrested them. Now that's anointing. That's the kind of anointed life that I want you to live from now on. You see, when you have the anointing of God,
It makes you more than a conqueror because, according to 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says, little children, we have overcome. We're not talking about we're about to struggle and see who is going to win. He said, we have overcome. Why? He said, because greater is he that is in you than the one that is in the world. You are not just an ordinary champion. You are a divine champion. Why? Because the greater one is your ally and is dwelling in you. When you have this kind of anointing, in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, Mark 16, verse 17, he says, you don't even have to worry about demons. You just cast them out. Open your mouth and command the demon, and the demon will go. With this kind of anointing, with your relationship with the Almighty God, with the ally, with the greater one living in you, the Bible says you don't have to worry yourself about herbalists and witches and wizards. He said in Isaiah 54 from verse 16 to 17, Isaiah 54 from 16 to 17, he said, there's no weapon fashioned against you that will prosper. Just won't prosper. In Isaiah 54 verse 15, Isaiah 54 verse 15, he even says, even if they gang up against you, they will fall for your sake. Deuteronomy 28 verse 7. Deuteronomy 28 verse 7 says, you don't even have to do any fighting. He said, those who come against you will be smitten before your face. They will come against you one way, they will flee seven ways. And this is the truth. I have been through it. I know what I'm talking about. This is not just theory. This is reality. So you become practically impregnable when you have the anointing of God. Now today I want to talk to you. I want to show you the truth, the old truth, and nothing but the truth. You cannot have this kind of privileges without certain responsibilities. And I want you to know that there is a major challenge of living the anointed life. I will just share a little bit of it with you this year. If the Lord tarries, we may pick it up from there next year. And what is that challenge? The challenge is if your ally departs. Because you are nothing on your own. Everything you can achieve through anointing is simply because God is with you. That is why the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? But if the ally departs, then the story will change. I mean, like in Judges chapter 16, from verse 4 to 21, Judges 16, 4 to 21. Delilah asked Samson, what is the secret of your strength? What can we do to you so you can become like an ordinary man? What is the secret? And when Samson finally opened his mouth and told her the secret, and the enemy moved in, the Bible said when Samson got up and said, I will go out as before, he did not know that God had already departed from him. I man, what is the secret? And when Samson finally opened his mouth and told her the secret, and the enemy moved in, the Bible said when Samson got up and said, "I will go out as before," he did not know that God had already departed from him. I pray for every one of you today that the Almighty God will never depart from you. Amen. How can God depart? Because there are some people who will tell you, "No, no, no, God can never depart. Doesn't matter how you live, he will just stay. Deep yourself in sin. Don't worry yourself. Grace will take care of that." That's not what the Bible says. We cannot continue in sin and expect grace to abound. I'm going to tell you some of the ways that could cause your ally to depart. One, according to John 15, from verse 1 to 7, John 15, 1 to 7, if you are not fruitful. Jesus Christ said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you are not bearing fruit, it's my Father himself who will pluck you away." If you are not bearing fruits, if you are not winning souls, if you are just occupying space, it is God himself who will remove you. And according to the word of God that I just mentioned, when he removes you, you dry up and end up in the fire. May that not be your portion. So if you say you are a worker, you are a minister, and you look back, and a whole year had gone by, you haven't won a single soul, watch out. Watch out, you are walking on very dangerous grounds. How else could he live? Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 to 16. Revelation 3, 15 to 16. God said, "If you want to be cold, be cold. If you want to be hot, be hot. If you are lukewarm," he said, "I will vomit you out of my mouth." Oh, there will be those who will tell you, "Don't worry yourself. If he vomits you out, he will reconcile you." Are you saying that God will return to his vomit? Only dogs return to their vomit. So make up your mind straight away. If you are lukewarm, because there are some of you workers, some of you ministers, who are lukewarm. And it shows. It shows in the way you pray. It shows in the way you even say amen when we pray. It shows in the way you shout your hallelujah. It shows the way you behave during praise and worship. If you don't want to do anything for God, get out of the way. He says he doesn't mind it if you are cold. But he prefers that you are hot. He says if you are lukewarm, out you go. But those ones are easy for you to know. You say, "Well, we know that already, Daddy." But there is one that I want to focus on now for the next few minutes that you might not be very, very aware of. And that is, if lying. Revelation 21 verse 8. Revelation 21 verse 8 wrote a list of people that the Almighty God said would never enter into his kingdom. And he included liars. In Psalm 101 verse 7, Psalm 101 verse 7, he said, "Liars will not tarry in my sight." Oh, some of you think that there are some lies, black lies, white lies, business lies, etc., etc. God says, I will not be an ally to a liar. Oh, you say, why would God hate lies so much? Well, just check examples from the scriptures. Check what happened in 2 Kings chapter 5 from verse 20 to 27. 2 Kings 5, 20 to 27. What happened to Gehazi? Why was his punishment so severe? He lied against the man of God, to Naaman. He lied to the man of God when he returned. And he got leprosy straight away. Oh, some people say that's in the Old Testament. Well, what about in the New? Acts chapter 5 from verse 1 to 11. Acts 5, 1 to 11. Ananias and Sapphira, you know them. They sold a piece of land, brought part of the money to the apostles, and told them this is all. And you know the result. Both of them died the same day. Stop lying. Don't lie in any form whatsoever. Don't put your signature to a report that you know is false. Why would God hate lying so badly? Because the basic distinction between God and the devil is lying. You want me to prove it to you? Well, John chapter 8 verse 44. John 8 44. The Bible says the devil is not just a liar, but is the father of lies. If we want to summarize everything about the devil, he's a liar, period. Whereas, in Numbers 23 verse 19, Numbers 23 verse 19, it is written, God is not a man that he should lie. In John chapter 14 verse 6, John 14 verse 6, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth. So how do we know the difference between a child of God and a child of the devil? Very simple. The child of God will tell the truth at all times, and the child of the devil will tell lies. That passage, John chapter 8, verse 44, the Bible says, ye are of your father the devil, and the will of your father you will do. He was a murderer. He was a liar. And the father of lies. So the next time you are tempted to lie, tell yourself, I am no longer a child of the devil. Lies. No matter how little, will cause the Almighty God to stay away. Now it will now interest you to know that lies is not just one fellow born by one mother. It has a brother. It has a sister. Hypocrisy. 1 Timothy chapter 4 from verse 1 to 2. 1 Timothy chapter 4 from verse 1 to 2 tells us a clear way of knowing a backslider. He said, they speak lies in hypocrisy. You want to check whether you are a backslider or not? Mm-hmm. Just look back the past 1 month. How many times have you lied? How many times have you done something hypocritically? The danger of hypocrisy, presenting white as black, or even presenting it as gray, is severe. If you read Job chapter 8 verse 13, Job 8 verse 13, the Bible says the hope of the hypocrite shall perish. That's frightening. In Job chapter 20 verse 5, Job 20 verse 5, the Bible says the joy of the hypocrite is for a moment. That's frightening. Job 20 verse 5. And even more frightening is Job 15 verse 34. Job 15 verse 34. It says the congregation of hypocrites shall be desolate. Watch it, my brother. Watch it, my sister. Stop being hypocritical. And then the sister of life is called flattery. And another word for flattery, of course, is exaggeration. Calling someone what is not. Presenting facts that are not accurate. And Proverbs chapter 26 verse 28, Proverbs 26 verse 28 says, a lying tongue hates those afflicted by it. A liar is an afflicter. And he says, a flattering mouth walketh ruin. Very frightening. And then what will happen to flatterers? People who exaggerate. Job chapter 17 verse 5. Job 17 verse 5 is very frightening. He says that if you flatter your friend, you are not the only one who will suffer for it. He said, even your children shall be punished. Oh, how did he say it? He said, if you flatter your friend, even the eyes of your children shall fail. Oh, so you might think it's a small thing when you flatter, when you exaggerate. No. It's much, much terrible than that. In Job 32, verse 22, verse 22, the Bible says the flatterer will die young. Don't flatter. Don't exaggerate. Say things exactly as they are. It is crucial. Psalm 12 verse 3. Psalm 12 verse 3 says, the Lord himself will cut off flattering lips. The Lord will cut off all flattering lips. You don't want to joke with these things. Now the question is, why is the mouth the issue? Because it is with the mouth that you lie. It is with the mouth that you do hypocritical things. It is with the mouth that you flatter. It is with the mouth that you exaggerate. Why? Why is this issue of how you use your mouth so crucial that I have to bring it to you urgently? You see, Proverbs chapter 18 verse 21. Proverbs 18 verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Because when you become anointed, the anointing goes all the way, including into your tongue. So what you say can kill. What you say can make alive. Can you imagine a liar trying to cast out demons? A liar. A child of the devil. Trying to tell demons to come out. The demons will say, but we are children of the same father. With your mouth, when you are anointed, you can decree and curses will be destroyed. And curses will become a blessing. 2 Kings chapter 2 from verse 19 to 22. 2 Kings 2 from verse 19 to 22. It's looking beautiful. But we have problems, underlying problems. There is barrenness, there is death. Our water is poisoned. He spoke. After he said, bring me some salt, etc., etc., and pour the salt in the source of their spring, he said, this water is healed from now. He spoke it out. And the Bible said the waters were healed unto this day according to the word that Elisha spoke. The same Elisha, in the same chapter, 2 Kings chapter 2, from verse 23 to 24, 2 Kings chapter 2, 23 to 24, was being mocked by some children. They looked at him and called him the bald-headed man and told him to get out of their country. Get out of town. The Bible says he turned and cursed them. And immediately he spoke, two she-bears came out of the bush and killed 42 of the children. I'm sure for the rest of the life of Elisha, he must have regretted that incident in his life. Probably at that time he didn't know the power that resided in him. Use your tongue to heal, not to kill. Use the anointing that God has deposited in you to do good, not to do evil. Use your tongue, your anointed tongue, to win souls. That when they hear the message of the gospel from you, they will willingly surrender. Use your tongue to cast out demons, to command the lame to walk, to call the dead back to life. Stop lying. Stop hypocrisy. Stop flattery. Stop exaggeration. Stop flattery. Stop exaggeration. Sing praises to God. Pray without ceasing. And if you can't do any of this, keep your mouth shut. That's why you find that those who are really, really anointed of God, except they are preaching, except they are praying, except they are worshiping God, they are always quiet people. You won't find them talkative. Because they know if they misuse their tongue, the Almighty God may depart. So what's going to be your prayer now? In Psalm 141, verse 3. Psalm 141, verse 3. David cried unto God and said, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips." The next time I want to lie, Almighty God, shut the mouth. Don't let it be open to speak a lie. So there are some great men of God who used to be used mightily of God. And they are now a shadow of what they used to be. Check. They began to exaggerate, saying that they are greater than they were. They began to lie. A little bit of hypocrisy here and there. And before you know it, the power is gone. I'm going to pray for you now. When I finish praying for you, I will ask you to ask God for mercy for all the lies you have ever lied. And to tell the Almighty God to help you from now never to tell another lie. Never again to exaggerate. Never again to be hypocritical. And then pray in the Spirit as often as you can. See, when you are praying in the Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit, praying through you. And when the Holy Spirit is in control of your tongue, it will become impossible to lie. Let us bow it. My Father, my God, I want to thank you for your word. I thank you as usual for the courage to say it as it is. I thank you for these divine champions of yours that you are raising up all over the world. Champions that will cast out demons. Champions that will neutralize poison. Champions that will heal the sick and raise the dead just by say so. Please, my Father and my God, if any of them have been lying in the past, forgive today. Oh Lord, please forgive today. As many of them as will say from now, no more lying, no more exaggeration, no more hypocrisy, please, my Father and my God, restore them to full fellowship. And I pray, Lord God Almighty, that your anointing upon them will last forever. Amen. I pray that these children will begin to live a highly anointed life. Amen. So that very soon I will begin to hear mighty testimonies from all over the world as your children begin to command the dead to rise. Amen. As they command the lame to walk. Amen. As they command demons to flee. Amen. As they begin to get mighty, mighty results when they go out witnessing. Amen. Please, so let it be. Amen. And I pray that together in your kingdom, we'll be there to reign with you. Amen. Thank you, my Father. You. Glory be to your holy name. Hallelujah. For in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. 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 Praise ye the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We want to thank God for